Church, it is a blessing to see you today. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at Azalea City. I hope that you have had a great week last week. In case you didn't, you've already started out your week the best way you can. And so I'm glad that we're here together. I'm glad that we have this opportunity. Appreciate those who have come and led us in our singing, led us in prayer, led us in remembering Jesus Christ on the cross and that great passage of Romans 5. Now has come a time in our worship that we will challenge ourselves. We're going to challenge ourselves to be what God wants us to be. We were able to honor our mothers, challenge children, challenge all of us to live a way that we can move forward in a time where the devil wants us to not. Let's just be real about it. The devil does not want you, nor does he want me, to succeed. And in order for us to succeed, we can't do it alone. We've got to have God. We've got to have help through Jesus Christ. And so, prior to us getting into Mother's Day last week, we talked a lot about what we can do to refill, re-energize, recharge our tanks. And so, this morning, what we're going to do, got a little bit of sinus garbage, so I may need that in a minute. But this morning, what we can do is hopefully we can live, love, and lead like Jesus Christ taught us to. You know, I was at Hobby Lobby, and I know you're thinking, why in the world was that guy at Hobby Lobby? I probably was thinking that too, but I was looking for something that I needed, like a little easel to set something up and display. But all that to say, they have signs out. They have these things that say, live, laugh, love. And I think that's great. We ought to live, we ought to laugh, we ought to love. But I'd like to take laugh out, not that I don't like to laugh, but I'd like to put lead in there. Because in today's day and time, if we're not living like Jesus, if we're not loving like Jesus, if we're not leading like Jesus, then we're not moving forward. We're not what God wants us to be. I think it's pretty safe to say there may be some times that have been tied with this, but I don't know of a time in history where there's not a greater need to tell others about Jesus Christ. Take a look around us, folks. Listen, and some of you may have purged out the news and may have purged out things that are going on, and I'm not going to knock you for that. In fact, I've purged a lot of that out of my life too. But we'd have to be in a hole somewhere to think that Christianity is not under attack. We've got to understand that the way God designed things is the way it should be. The way God designed us and the way we were formed in our mother's womb is the way we ought to live. The way God designed and instituted marriage is the way we ought to marry. The way that God blessed us with a child along the way, that child ought to have a chance. And we could go on, right? We could talk about things that are being in the news and being attacked, and they're really vile things. There are people that are protesting. Maybe perhaps the Roe versus Wade being turned back over to the states or whatever. There are people protesting and saying the most vile things about unborn children that you can imagine. All because they're without Jesus Christ. We live in a time today where we can't leave it up to the preachers. We can't leave it up to the elders or the youth minister or the one-to-one minister. We live in a time, and this has always been the case, where we're all called to be evangelists. So today, as we go through this lesson, I want you to think about something. I want you to think about today. I want you to reflect just for a moment, then come back to me. But I want you to ask yourself, who told you about Jesus Christ? You need to remember who told you about Jesus Christ. The reason I believe you need to be reminded of who told you about Jesus Christ is because you need to give that gift to someone else. You need to be someone that a preacher asks someday, who gave you the gift? Who told you about Jesus Christ? and they think of you, or they think of me. You see, I think the greatest gift, in fact, I know the greatest gift we can give today is the hope of salvation through Jesus Christ. So as we get into this lesson, I want you to think of how much of a blessing it was that somebody took their time to live like Jesus, to love like Jesus, and lead like Jesus, so that we today can be here worshiping our God. Matthew 28, I'm not getting a click. If you'll turn the slide there, please, Mr. Roberto. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Harrison came and read to us. Harrison, appreciate your courage and appreciate you coming up here and reading. It says simply, very powerfully but simply, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age." We call that the Great Commission. But then we have it in Mark's account as well. Mark said it this way, or he recorded it this way, "And he said to them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." But then there's one more occasion when Jesus Christ had appeared back to some of his disciples, some that are now apostles, and he appeared to a few hundred people there, and he's about to ascend back to heaven. But he looks his apostles in the eyes and he says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." You know what Jesus was asking them to do? He was asking them to teach the gospel. He was asking them to share the gospel. I love Romans 1, verse 16, where Paul there says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." I said this a bunch before, but I think the illustration still proves to be pretty strong. You could go out in our parking lot right now and realize what a lot of people are proud of. And I'm not talking about the vehicles, I'm talking about the stickers. There's going to be A's on there. You're not going to see many AUs these days. But there are going to be a lot of A's on there. There are going to be a lot of, "My kid made the honor roll." There's going to be a lot of, "Hey, this is my family." I'm not saying necessarily in our parking lot, but all across the town and the city. You're going to see, you'll even see the one whose kid's never made the honor roll, and that parent says, "I'm glad my kid beat up your honor roll kid." You're going to see all that garbage, right? See, we do need to live, laugh, and love. But the reality is, most of the time, you can look on somebody's bumper sticker or on their window, or you can see in their clothing who they pull for, what they root for. Why? Because they're not ashamed. You don't see as much orange and blue, like I said, these days. Maybe they are ashamed. But you see a lot of that other, right? And you know, hey, they're not ashamed to be that fan. They're not ashamed to be that. But my question is do people look at us and say, are they ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? When I look at Paul, who said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God and salvation," I know he wasn't ashamed. You know why? He wore the marks. Paul had scars. He had scars from beatings. He had scars from imprisonments. He had scars from stonings. He had scars from snakes. He had scars from a lot of different things that showed he was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm thankful to God, as was prayed earlier, that we are free from that kind of misery for teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But do we have scars? Are we wearing Jesus Christ? Are we ashamed to tell others the good news? The death, the burial, the resurrection, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said it this way as well. We teach Christ crucified. My question today is, are we going everywhere, around everyone, and living, leading, and loving Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because if we are not, then we are failing the mission that Jesus Christ gave us. He said to go into all the world, but He said in Acts chapter 1 that it starts in Jerusalem. Where's your Jerusalem? I can specifically tell you my Jerusalem is 3166 McCray Drive. But my Jerusalem starts even inside that home. My Jerusalem starts with my family. My Jerusalem then should branch out to Mobile. My Jerusalem should branch out to right here in Sims, Alabama. That is the Samarias and the other parts of the world, right? The Judeas. We've got a responsibility as Christians to not warm these pews. And let me tell you, I'm glad you're here warming the pews. But this is not our sole responsibility. Yes, we need to be at worship. We got to tell the good news. We got to live the good news. We've got to love the good news, and we've got to lead the good news. How do we do that then, Terry? How can we practically tell you something today that will challenge all of us, that will help us to be evangelists? Now listen, I'm not saying you're going to come up and you're going to preach a lesson or you're going to teach a class. You do that, that'd be great. But how can we evangelize in a world that doesn't want you to move forward, in a world that doesn't want you to tell about Jesus Christ? How can we evangelize in 2022? Number one, this morning. First thing I think we need to do as Christians, we need to live like we are alive. Turn your Bibles to Acts 2, please. Acts 2. While you're turning there, I'll join you in just a moment. You can turn your Bibles, your devices, whatever you brought with you this morning. Beginning in verse 40, let's read together, please. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them. Remember, that's Peter now. He's been preaching his heart out. He said, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. When I read through a scripture like that, one that we have read through, if we've been in the church sometime, plenty of times, right? What I like to do is look for words that jump out at me. And in this passage, when it comes to evangelism, there are words that jump out. The first one that jumped out at me was gladly. Think about what Paul did. He did not sugarcoat what they had done. In fact, he told them, "You had the Messiah and you nailed him to a tree. You killed him." Now they stopped him in the middle of that lesson and said, "What do we need to do?" And we'll talk more about that maybe in a moment, but he is not sugarcoating what they did. But what is he doing? He's living, loving, and leading. And as he lives and loves and leads like Jesus Christ, he loves them enough to tell them. And it said in there, he said there were other things that he preached to them. He told them to be saved from this perverse generation. Couldn't we preach that today? And they gladly received his word. You know why they gladly received his word? Because they were dead spiritually. Now let me say this to us today. If we were tragically laid out on a floor, dead, our heart had stopped beating, and somewhere along the way, We come to that realization that that had happened. And somebody brought us back to life. I believe at least in that moment, we'd have a new outlook on things. We'd probably go and get checked out what caused us to get there. If he said, hey, you need to lose a few pounds, we probably would. If he said, hey, you need to exercise a little more, we'd probably join the gym. You know, we could go, or we'd start walking, we'd do something. We'd go on and on, right? Why? Because now we have a new outlook on life. I was dead, but now I'm alive. Well, Peter just told him. He said, yeah, you're dead, but you can repent and be baptized, every one of you. And you can have forgiveness of your sins. They said, hallelujah. They gladly received it. Another word that stands out to me is continued. Verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread and fellowship, breaking of bread and in prayers. Why did they continue in it? It wasn't just a one-and-done thing. It wasn't just, hey, let me get baptized, and now I'm all better. I can go back into the world. No, that's not how it works, is it? Because all of them around them were living, loving, and leading like Jesus Christ. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in fellowship. They continued in breaking of bread. They continued in prayers. Because they couldn't get enough. Another phrase that sticks out to me is we're together and had all things in common. Listen, they got along. They were there for each other. I'm going to venture to say that not everybody in this room would agree on every single point, but we better agree on the book. We better agree on the way we worship. We better agree on the way God laid it out for us. We better agree that this is the key to understand and know Jesus Christ. That's what they had in common. They didn't have the New Testament written. They were writing it as they were living, right? But they had the apostles' doctrine who was receiving, they were receiving direct word from the Holy Spirit. Another phrase that stuck out with me was they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. You know why they could now eat their food with gladness and simplicity of heart? Because the guilt was gone. The death was gone. They were living like they were alive. Now let me ask you this. By them gladly receiving the word, continuing in all those things, being together, having all things in common, and eating their food with gladness, simplicity of heart, do you think it had an effect on evangelism? Do you think it had an effect on the growth of the church? Well, let's just look at verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Listen, I get it. Things that worked some time ago may not work today. It's going to be real hard to go to a neighborhood and say, hey, I've got a film strip. Can I come into your house and plug it in and let's watch this film strip together? Times have changed. I get it. That method had to change. But you know what? The truth that's in that film strip still saves souls today. We just got to find a different way to do it. We don't have to go out and change up everything in the gospel to attract people. That becomes entertainment. That becomes stuff that we're not authorized to do. But people still want to be alive spiritually. And if I live like I'm alive, it's still going to attract people. Hey, how did you react that way in that tough situation? Well, let me tell you why I reacted that way. Let me tell you who helped me with that. But you know what's happening sometimes in the church? And let me tell you, I have to catch myself on this. I've told y'all this in class. I'm going to tell it again. I probably told it in sermons. There are Christians, and I don't know of any of them here. I'm not going to try to think about it, okay? But I want you to ask yourself, am I a Christian that's walking around with a demeanor that's sour, negative, or dead? You know, there have been times in my life when I've gone in this Walmart a lot of times over the years. buy something for lunch or get probably a diet soda that's going to kill me or whatever, you know. And I've gone in there and I just want to go in and get out, you know. And oftentimes I've gotten back to my vehicle and I thought, did I look like I just wanted to rip their heads off? You know, I mean, I get it. I already have a little bit of that stereotype anyhow, right? Because, you know, I'm not a small guy. And so, you know, they probably already, you know, like at Planet Fitness, I'm the lunk, right? They won't let me go in there. That's the lunk alarm. The ring, if you don't know about that, look it up. But nonetheless, so I've got this, hey, that person's a lunk. And now they look like they just want to rip my head off. So hey, what do you do for a living? I'm the preacher at Zay City Church of Christ. What? I don't want that to be the case. I don't want that to be the case. I want to give off a demeanor that I know I'm saved. Yeah, gas is high. Yeah, $4.19, $4.20. I saw it this morning on the way in. Groceries are high. We just had to increase our grocery budget. Tear up the monthly budget. Let's write a new one, right? Things are high. Things are expensive. I get going in the grocery store at the gas pump. But we've got to live like we're alive spiritually. The world's doing that. Let's be different. Others are going to notice if we walk around joyful, positive, and alive. God will be glorified. Seeds will be planted. And God will provide growth. Secondly, this morning, how do I live, love, and lead like Jesus Christ? I need to love like we know we are loved. I need to love like I know I'm loved, and we need to love like we know we're loved. Look back at Acts 2 now, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? In other words, what do we do to get this guilt off of us? Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Again, can you imagine the swing in emotion? I can't imagine it. I can't imagine it. But it would be similar to someone who had murdered somebody and they were on death row. And the family came in and somehow convinced everybody and said, hey, don't let them die. I love them. And I forgive them. Now, I know that's far-fetched and there's government and there's laws and all that that would prevent. But listen to me. Isn't that what happened? They had received a death sentence. Because we just murdered the Messiah. Paul said it. He said, this Jesus whom you crucified has been both made Lord and Christ. He is the Messiah you've been waiting on, and you nailed him to a tree. Peter could have preached for another hour, and they wouldn't have heard one word of it. Because now all of a sudden they're thinking, what are we going to do? I've got this guilt on me. I'm going to lose my soul. This is so miserable. I believe they just stopped them in the middle of it. And said, what do we need to do? And let's do it right now. The Holy Spirit didn't say through Peter, every one of you have no chance. It's all over. You blew it. Now the Holy Spirit said this, every one of you, repent and be baptized, and you will receive forgiveness of sins. And the gift of the Holy Spirit. Imagine that's why it says later on, they gladly received His Word. Because now they know they are loved. Despite the fact that they had hated and they had killed, they know they are loved. How are we going to respond to the one responsible who lets us off? What if today you have taken Jesus Christ and nailed Him to the cross? My sins crucify anew the Son of God. Today, if you walked in and you've not been living the way you should, you're not loving the way you should, you're not leading the way you should, you've been sinning and you've been forsaking and you've been doing all these other vile things that break the covenant of peace between you and God, you've nailed Him to the tree. But please hear this out. Today, that same Jesus Christ is willing to forgive you. He's willing to take that blood that He shed on that tree and wash you of every sin you've ever committed. And if that's happened to us, why are we not living, loving, and leading like we ought to? You see, we need to understand we are loved. And we need to love like we know we are loved. Finally, this morning, it gets us to the last point. We certainly need to lead like a soul depends upon it. What happens if we all decided today that we're going to take evangelism as serious the way that God desires us to? What would happen? Hey, I know we've got a great ministry leader over evangelism, and he's done a great job. But what if we said it's not just Bill's job? What if we said it's not just the minister's and the elder's job? What if today we all answered the call that we are evangelists? And we lived and we loved and we led like a soul depends on it. Well, I believe what we do is go everywhere telling everyone we possibly could about what Jesus has done for us and what He can do for them. You see, that's what happened in the early church. Right here in Acts 2, 3,000 of them walked the aisle. Could you imagine that? I say walk the aisle, you know what I mean. 3,000 of them responded to the invitation to repent and be baptized. But you know what? Later, the Scriptures say, hey, it grew to be 5,000 men. They stopped counting the women and the teenagers. They just said, it's 5,000 men. Then after that, they lost count. And they said, hey, they're growing by multitudes. Then you know what they said? They quit counting it all and said, hey, they have turned the world upside down. What a scene. It started with 12. It was 11 and they added the Matthias. It was 12 apostles. Yes, they had other crew. They had others who were on board with them. But then it was 3,000, then it was 5,000 men, then it was multitudes, and they had just been accused of turning the whole world upside down. You know why? They were leading like souls depended on it. Evangelism works. Living like Christ makes a difference. We do not have a choice. If we are a born-again Christian today, you do not have a choice. We must be evangelistic. Matthew 28, Mark 16, Acts chapter 1. Souls are in danger. Are we willing to tell the story? Or are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ? As we close, somewhere in heaven, there is somebody I'm going to look up. There's a person I'm going to meet. I don't know how long it'll take me to find them. I don't know how all the ins and outs will work on that. But I'm going to find them. Because this person, years ago now, introduced a man to Jesus Christ. That man married a woman who had been introduced to Jesus Christ. Together they had three children. And this family taught their children about Jesus Christ. One of those children happens to be my mother, who taught me about Jesus Christ. I'm here today because that someone lived, loved, and led like a soul depended on it. And I'm going to find him one day. And I'm going to look him in the eyes. And tell him thank you. Today, maybe you've remembered who yours was. Maybe you still have the opportunity to tell him. Or maybe today you're hearing about Jesus Christ for the very first time. Whatever the case may be, I hope and pray that today we will all live, love, and lead like Jesus Christ. If you have a need, won't you come right now together? We stand and sing.